Welcome to the Mitchell Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson, and today's podcast touched on the topic of video games. But before we get to that, as always, a few housekeeping and announcements. The Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, Part 1, Behavior Management, is available on Amazon Kindle. Check it out. Lots of great resources associated with that. Those not only in the book itself, in the ebook itself, but also as a resource that you'll find at a website that people who purchase the book are able to access. The Elimination Diet Manual is also available on Amazon Kindle, another great resource to help you explore the ways in which perhaps your diet may be affecting your physical and emotional health. So another great resource for those who are interested. The Parenting Your ADHD Child course is up and running at paideallc.com. The link will be in the show notes, but I encourage you to jump over and check it out. It's a fantastic resource for people who have children with ADHD and are looking for new ways and alternative ways to help their child and to perhaps even resolve some of their own frustration in trying to parent a child who is a little bit impulsive, inattentive, maybe overactive. It's a great resource and helps explain many of the things that you're experiencing as a parent of a child with ADHD. So paideallc.com, click on courses and check it out. All right, well, that's it. That's all the announcements for today. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Breakdown. Today's podcast is all about video games. Well, not all about video games. It's about a few things about video games. But the reason that we're going to talk about video games is because it is among the most common topic that parents want to talk about when they come into the office. They come in with their kids and they're asking about how much time should they allow their child to play? Should they get this video game? Should their child be allowed to play that video game? And they ask lots of questions about the amount of exposure that their child should have, at what age their child should have various exposure. Should I allow him to play this video game or this rated M video game or this rated T video game? And so parents ask lots of questions about these issues. And so I think it's important that we spend a little bit of time talking about it. And this podcast is going to be about one particular aspect of video games, and we will be talking a lot more about video games in the future. We all know sort of that stereotypical gamer, you know, that person, usually a kid, usually a boy, sitting in his room, lights out, sitting in front of his TV, controller in his hand, headphones on, and he is just consumed by the game, sitting there playing, perhaps even talking to some person that he's never met before, but they're working together to complete some mission in this video game that they're playing. When parents come in and they're talking about their child in those situations, of course, they talk about how he can sit there for hours on end. And if the parent just keeps bringing him food and nourishment, he could sit there for days and days and days. And this isn't just a child problem. There's adults, certainly, who get immersed in some of these games, and they can sit in front of their computer. And again, we've certainly heard reports of people who have lost their jobs because they played video games all night and weren't able to go to work the next day. And so, absolutely, those are problems associated with video games. And it's associated with video games, but it's also other temperamental things. It's other things associated with the person. It's not just the video games. Many times, individuals who do that kind of gaming, if it weren't for video games, they would be doing the same thing, but with something else. And so, but despite some of those challenges, one of the things I try to do in my writing and in workshops is I try to present a slightly different perspective about video games. I work to help parents recognize that sure, absolutely, there's problems. Sure, there's issues with video games. However, there aren't just problems. Sometimes video games are a good thing. For example, a few years ago, when the Nintendo company first came out with Wii, there was a shift, really, a dynamic shift in the video game industry, where here we were going from a game system that was very sedentary, you just sit and play, to a system where the person, the gamer, had to actually get up and move and interact with the game. So we were, you know, swinging bats and we were doing different things, but how we moved our body affected the game. And in fact, some researchers examined this a little bit and found that playing games like Wii Sport, which came with every Nintendo Wii system, just playing Wii Sport for 30 to 45 minutes was equivalent to 30 minutes of moderate level exercise. Now, that to me is a wonderful, wonderful positive consequence of video gaming. And so if a kid wants to play Wii for an extended period of time, not that kids should sit around and play video games for hours on end, but if he wants to sit down and play, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of video games, and he's playing the Wii, and he's moving and he's shifting with the game, I don't know that that's such a bad thing, because we're not, you know, one of the things that we're dealing with is we're dealing with the sedentary nature. The kid isn't just sitting there doing anything. He's actually moving, and again, potentially, according to research, getting the benefits of a moderate level exercise. Another benefit is the fact that some research came out within the past decade that suggests that neurosurgeons and surgeons who do various forms of endoscopic surgery, when they play video games, their surgical outcome are superior to those who don't play video games. That hand-eye coordination, you know, we're really getting into the future when it comes to surgical procedures and things like that. And so having tremendous hand-eye coordination is a critical skill. And we found, again, through research, that individuals who have really good hand-eye coordination because of playing video games and things like that actually do better. They have better surgical outcomes. In fact, some of the research actually looked at what happens when surgeons play video game just before going into surgery. And they found that those surgeons perform better. So there are certainly some positive aspects of gaming. Now, after the Wii came out, you know, Microsoft with their Xbox and Sony's PlayStation, they worked to catch up with their own sort of kinetic type of game with the various systems that they and hardware that they came out with. But as the software and hardware for gaming has evolved over the past few years, you know, certainly it has shifted back into more sedentary because, you know, the graphics are tremendous, the gaming, the stories, the gameplay has just evolved so much in the past few years that it has really shifted back to a much more sedentary gaming community, because, you know, you just don't interact in the same way when you're playing Call of Duty or some of these other games where you are sitting in the first-person shooter types of things. But recently, I'm sure you've all heard, recently the gaming world has been rocked once again. And it, again, is the Nintendo Corporation that did it. And that is Pokemon Go. Now, I deliberately didn't mention Pokemon Go until well into this podcast, because for many people listening, as soon as they hear Pokemon Go, they're gonna turn it off. And I'm baffled by that, but I'll tell you why about that in just a second. But Pokemon Go is a blast. It has rocketed through the roof. It has tens of millions of downloads. They're making millions of dollars a day just on the in-app purchases. And in-app purchases aren't even necessary, but they're making millions of dollars a day on in-app purchases. And that's just in the United States. It's been slowly released in different countries all around the world. And each place that it goes, the response is similar. Millions and millions of people are downloading this game. A free mobile game. And of course, Nintendo's first mobile game. This is the first time that they've ever gone into the world of handheld games on phones, mobile devices. Of course, they had the Nintendo Game Boys and Nintendo DSs and things like that. But this is the first time on mobile devices such as phones and iPads and things like that, and tablets. But Pokemon Go is everywhere. And if I was technologically savvy enough, I would try to play some clips and video of people who have posted on YouTube and Facebook where they've driven by parks and sort of making fun, poking fun at, you know, these people out there in the park that are walking around with their phones searching for Pokemon and trying to get to Pokestops and things like that. And they're poking fun of them because, you know, it's a stupid game, is what many people say. It's a ridiculous game that doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything in the real world, but, you know, you have all these people that are consumed by it. Now, my challenge to those people is this. Had you driven by that same park about 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, my bet is that none of those people, especially the kids, but none of those people would have been there. They're there because of Pokemon Go. So let's think about what Nintendo did with this game. And I'm not getting any money from Nintendo or anything like this. So it's not a promotional video or podcast in any way. But when we think about what this game is doing to people right now, I think that it should receive some accolades. To play the game, you have to move around. You have to walk. Now, certainly you can sit in a car and you can drive to different places and you can pick up things that way. But one of the things that it has in the game is you can get these eggs. Well, to get an egg, you have to go to a Pokestop. And those are details that those of you who play already know all that. And as a matter of fact, most of you listening probably play. But you have to go to a Pokestop and you get these eggs. Well, to hatch the eggs, because they contain Pokemon, you have to incubate it. You have to have an incubator that you put it in. But for the incubator to work, you have to walk. So some of the incubators require you to walk 2 kilometers before it will hatch. Others require 5. Some require 10 kilometers of walking before it will hatch. Now, think about what that means. Some of the rare Pokemon are going to be in the 10-kilometer eggs. So for your child, or for you, to get a Pokemon that is contained in some of these eggs, you have to walk. You have to move from place to place because the app knows if you're just driving. It doesn't count that distance. It knows when you're traveling by means other than walking, and so it doesn't count that space, that time. So you have to be walking. Now, again, that's amazing. That's fantastic. Because it's getting our kids out and walking. It's getting us out and walking. The other day, I was with my daughter and we decided that we were going to go for a walk and look for Pokemon. What we thought was just going to be a short walk down the road and back ended up being a walk that took us an hour and a half. Now, an hour and a half of walking, looking for Pokemon, sure. But we talked. We talked about college. We talked about school. We talked about work. We talked about life. We talked about a lot of things during that 90-minute walk. I can't even say when the last time would have been that we took a walk like that and spent that time talking and interacting. So while sure, we are getting consumed with these things, and absolutely, some mechanism needs to be put in place to limit our exposure, to limit how much time we dedicate to the video games and to these kinds of things. But we should not consider these things. We should not look at video games and say they're all bad. We shouldn't look at it and say, oh, they're stupid for playing those games, or look at those people. They're just spending and wasting their time chasing those Pokemon around and looking for these things that don't even matter, these imaginary things that don't even matter. You're right, they may not matter. However, if the consequences of playing these games are getting out and moving around, well, I don't know that that's all bad. You know, if you can get out and get some exercise and get some cardiovascular exercise and move your body, all the while looking for that Pikachu, well, I'll take that any day over just sitting at home playing in your room or watching TV. So, you know, when parents ask about Pokemon Go or some of these other games, I think that they're okay. I think that these kinds of games are okay. Sure, you have to limit and you may have to sort of put in some boundaries to make sure that they don't spend all of their time playing these games. But for the most part, again, if it gets them out walking and gets them moving, I'm all for it. I think that that kind of exercising consequence of gaming is a wonderful thing. So enjoy your Pokemon Go. Get out and walk. Go look for that Pikachu. Go hatch that egg and enjoy your time. Have fun. And while you're out there with your kids playing Pokemon Go or any other game, talk to them. Interact with them. Use it as a time to build your relationship. All right? Happy hunting. Have a great day. And forget to be afraid.